If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Colin McShane joins us Fridays at this time. What do you know? It's Friday at this time. By the way, we mentioned that Connell is seen on News Nation from 2 to 4, starting Monday, an extra hour. You go till 5 o'clock our time, huh, Connell?
That's right. What a racket, huh? That could be too much of a good thing. We'll see. But hopefully the world is ready, right? We're excited about it. We take on an extra hour.
Watch this man on TV and ask yourself, where does he buy his shirts? I always marvel at how crisp, clean, and beautiful your white shirts are.
A white shirt can go a long way. You don't have to get too complicated, John, right? You know, the old-fashioned, keep it simple, and that's the style, I guess. So,
you and I talk a lot in this segment about major national news, often of late. That's about Donald Trump and what's been going on in the White House in Washington, D.C. But there's also the intersection with Chicago and Illinois now with the idea of us being a migrant, a city that offers, what is the word I'm looking for? Sanctuary yep. City. What's the latest on that, Connell?
So, you know, big picture, I thought yesterday was a really interesting day in the whole evolution of the Trump show, as we call it, that we're watching every day, the new administration, because what we saw, and this is how we led our show yesterday, was the courts pushing back to some degree on President Trump, whether it was DOGE or the president directly and some of the efforts that they're trying to do. The courts, a number of federal judges said, wait a minute, at least, you know, with the federal buyout. They said, well, let's wait till Monday. Let's talk this over. Let's have a hearing. Well, that was significant because, you know, that just shows that we do have systems of checks and balances in our country. The same side, or you know, in the same thought, but on the other side, you also had the administration getting aggressive with this lawsuit against Chicago and against the state of Illinois. That will be interesting to see for other so-called sanctuary cities. So, I mean, they're saying that Chicago's, you know, state and local laws interfere with the federal government's ability to enforce immigration laws, and, you know, the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, and, you know, the mayor of Chicago said, no, these are our laws, and we're going to enforce the law. So the way this plays out is not only going to be a Chicago story, it'll be a New York story, it'll be stories for other sanctuary cities. So the courts are a big part of it on both sides.
I think the attitude here, you know, some people just don't like it and can't get their head around the fact that any kind of law enforcement official would not cooperate with another law enforcement official when they say somebody here has either committed a crime or they're here illegally. Why in the world wouldn't law enforcement cooperate? But it's not exactly a separation of powers thing, but it's the federal government, and cities and states have their own rights and laws, and technically they're not working for the federal government. So shy of a warrant, a federal warrant, one of the mayors in one of the suburbs is in the news today in our Daily Herald, and he says, we're not going to cooperate unless they have a warrant. If they do, we will, but we are not a federal agency. We're a city police department.
One of the other things that's really interesting about this particular issue is that conservatives, usually Republicans, are the ones that are arguing more in favor of states' rights, generally speaking. Right throughout our history, and Democrats the opposite, for a stronger federal government. There's always been whatever parties are in power, but that's always been the way. It's back to, you know, Hamilton and Jefferson, that one side wants a big federal government, one side says, no, the states. And now, because the issue, you know, ideologically is on the other side, now you're basically arguing against your own ideology. I guess that, you know, to regular people, they probably don't care that much about that, but it's just kind of an interesting kind of sub-story in all of this. But yeah, this has been going on for a while. I mean, and Mayor Adams, like, I'm here in New York, he's an interesting character in all of this because he might have his own motivations for wanting to be close to the administration's position, but he has basically come out and said something to the effect of, oh, I don't love these sanctuary city laws because, you know, almost hinting, oh, I'd love to cooperate, but I'm going to still enforce the law because that's our law here in the city. So he's trying to play both sides of it and stay close to President Trump because who knows? He may need a pardon one day, you know. So there's that.
Wow. Well, it is sort of intriguing, that 30,000-foot view that Republicans and conservatives feel that the individuals and states have rights, and Democrats have been the one that are always trying to mommy state everybody, and yet Here's Donald Trump, the Republican president and head of the party, and he wants to actually cancel the congestion pricing that New York City has.
Yes.
That's a city issue. The president has no authority there. He wants.
But that's,
am I wrong?
That's an old. No, you're not wrong. But that's you kind of have to know the Donald Trump pre-President Trump, the New York Donald Trump on that one, because that's an outer borough versus Manhattan issue here in New York. And Donald Trump has always thought of himself, even though Trump Tower's on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, as an outer borough guy. He's for the people coming in from Queens.
That's okay, then write a letter to your congressman. I mean, the president doesn't have that authority. He turned on the water flowing in California, and the hydrologists there say this is a bad idea. And what's the president of the United States doing, opening up a valve in California? He's flush with so much power. Witness what he's thinking about in Gaza, etc. He even said this on his social media platform: "I will be signing an executive order next week, ending the ridiculous Biden push for paper straws, which don't work. It's back to plastic." It's amazing that he has the energy for all these things.
Yeah, he does, and you know, that goes back in New York too. To Mayor Bloomberg, when he was here, we had a big controversy over straws and supersizing and all kinds of things that we spent weeks and weeks that I guess we'll never get back talking about and arguing about at the time. So I guess that's back. You know, what's kind of interesting about all of this is that he, to your point, you're right, he doesn't have the power to do some of it. But when he does make statements, we do see kind of a trickle down effect in local areas. A couple of examples. You know, number one, he comes out the other day and he bans transgender athletes in women's sports, right? So basically, at the time, it seemed like about Title IX lawsuits, allowing people to sue, and use Title IX to file their lawsuits. Well, just about almost immediately, the NCAA came out and banned transgender athletes in women's NCAA events. So there was a clear effect of that. You know, you can say what you want about the issue, whether it, you know, there's not very many transgender athletes in women's sports to begin with, fine. But the fact is, Trump came out, executive orders issued, next thing somebody reacts. I was seeing a story on the Hill today about Doge, right? Because all this stuff that they're trying to cut down on spending, well, a bunch of states, mostly red states, are now putting their own kind of Doge-like programs in place, kind of trickling down from the federal government, like Oklahoma, North Carolina, Missouri, I think New Hampshire, very similar. So there's a trickle-down effect to all of this where people are trying to follow what Trump's doing.
I saw that, and the bully pulpit is not a bad thing, and if everybody took a page from the White House, I think all spending would be curtailed, and that's good. Let's just be smart about it. And what's going on with the Department of Education? NewsNationNow.com, your website, has a lot of coverage about Democrat members of the Congress being barred from entering the Department of Education offices, even as Elon Musk is moving in and out. What's going on there?
Well, that was crazy, almost like the USAID offices earlier in the day. The Democrats are looking for a way to fight back. So Maxine Waters and a bunch of other Democrats went in person to the Department of Education in Washington this morning, but the doors were locked. There was like this security guard there, and cameras are there, and it was tense. And new Democrats are obviously looking to make a point, as Trump has made no secret about the fact that he just wants to get rid of the Department of Education, which in conservative circles is not a radical idea at all. I mean, I think there was stories going back to when it came in the Carter administration that conservatives have always thought, to our earlier conversation, that stuff like this would be better handled at the state level. But again, these stories all come together. I was talking to Arne Duncan the other day, the former Secretary of Education under President Obama, and he made the point that whatever you think, this is unlikely to happen because Trump would need an act of Congress, and he's not going to get the 60 votes needed in the Senate to pass something like this. Doesn't mean he can't gut it. Doesn't mean he can't make some changes. Doesn't mean he can't make it, you know, less influential. And so that's what he's trying to do. The Democrats, they're trying to show they're still relevant and that they can still have a say. And they think one of the ways to do it is, take a page out of Trump's book. Go out there and make a show. Be on camera. Be on TV. Show you're fighting back. Does that matter? I mean, I don't know. But that's what they're doing.
Let's just finish then with going back to the Department of Justice filing a lawsuit yesterday against the city of Chicago, Cook County, and the state of Illinois, accusing officials of interfering with immigration enforcement issues. Clearly they are, but are they doing so illegally or extra legally? What's going to happen here next?
Well, I mean, it'll work its way through the courts like all these other issues, right? And like I was saying earlier, I think it matters not only for Chicago but for other cities. And that decision will have an impact on New York and other sanctuary cities and other sanctuary states, because this issue, even if Trump loses in court, likes to have these fights. And I think that's also part of what's going on here. That's part of what's going on at USAID, for example, trying to cut off foreign aid. It's like he thinks this is a discussion. Foreign aid's not that popular when you poll people about it. He loves having these fights in public. And whether he can actually shut it down, whether it actually goes away, that's going to be a question in large part that's going to be answered a lot of these issues in the courts. But in the meantime, the court of public opinion, cable news, radio, internet, everything, he gets to have the discussion and the fight he wants to have and controls the narrative. I think that's a big part of it.
One last thing. Speaking of polling, though, about how Americans feel about USAID, asked about it, most Americans feel that 25% of our dollars go to foreign aid. And then when you ask them, well, what percent do you think should go to foreign aid? They say, well, 10% would be a good amount. It's less than 1%.
Less than one.
Conal McShane will be on at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and they like him so much he's going to be on until 5 starting Monday on Comcast 223, Direct 307, Dish 207. Let's talk next week. Thank you, Conal.
Sounds good, John. Always fun to talk to you.